live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal deputy has given a guarded welcome to the Social Protection Minister's changes to pensions. Hopes are fading that works can be carried out this year to counter potential coastal erosion at Ballyliffin Golf Club ahead of the Irish Open this summer. A committee is to be formed in Bonkrana to coordinate a campaign for the restoration of Swan Park. And officials have granted full planning permission for an electricity line between Northern Ireland and the Republic. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. First in news, the Social Protection Minister has announced pension changes that should see 30,000 retired people benefit from a rise in their pensions. It's aimed at closing a loophole brought in back in 2012, which saw 40,000 pensioners losing out on around €1,500 a year, largely mothers who had been out of the workforce to raise children. A new home care credit will allow people to get their full state pension if they have stayed at home for up to 20 years before returning to the workforce. Donegal Deputy and Lascan Corla Pat the Cope Gallagher has given today's announcement a guarded welcome and has committed to ensure all who are entitled to payments are acknowledged.
I have some questions that require answers, but going back to the system that was there from 2012, it discriminated against those who, for example, went to work at an early age or for family reasons took 10 or more years off to stay at home and subsequently re-entered the force. Now, this has been dealt with under today's announcement. They have a total contributions approach, including a new home caring credit of up to 20 years. I believe that will address the anomalies for the yearly averaging system. Now, over 40,000 pensioners have been affected by this, but we're now told that it's not necessary for them to make contact with the Department of Social Protection, that the department will make contact with them. The new higher rates will commence from the end of March of this year, but the arrears will be paid in the first quarter of 2019. And of course, the reason for that is that no funding was included in this year's budget. Now, what does concern me somewhat, reading through the detail of this, I have to await a response from the Minister, particularly about those who would have went to work at an early stage in their life, would have then gone to college, and if their first contributions were paid 17 or so, they went to college maybe for a number of years. So we're waiting for clarification on that, and I believe if it's not included, that we have to continue to exert pressure on the Minister and the Government to include these people.
Meanwhile, 130 new jobs are to be created throughout Ireland as a result of today's pension announcement. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh, while acknowledging the work of Minister Regina Doherty, has called on her to consider locating some of the new posts in County Donegal.
It's nothing to do with the state pensions, it's to do with the entitlements as a result of recognition with respect to people who have left the workforce. So just, I think it's important. Some people will find themselves better off, but also it may not work for others. So I would encourage people to stay closely in touch with the Social Welfare Office. But after today's publication, this is a good day for people that have worked up the entitlements. And also, just to add, there will be 130 extra jobs. I've made a call to Minister Doherty today to look at the possibility of locating these jobs, not necessarily just in Dublin, but also looking at regions such as our own two locations in Bunkrana and Letterkenny.
There's no commitment at this stage about these jobs, but are you hopeful that they could come to fruition?
This particular scheme is operated out of Longford, so I know that would be the natural base for it, but I've made the argument that because of magnitude of the work involved and because of the skill base that we have in the county, maybe people who have been working part-time and people who have taken job share in Letterkenny or Bunkrana, that there are options there too. So I had a conversation, I don't want to create expectations around it, but I've had the conversation with Minister Regina Doherty after Cabinet, and I'm hoping that she will look at this in a favourable light.
Noreen O'Sullivan says her predecessor as Garda Commissioner retired over accusations of corruption by Maurice McCabe. Sergeant McCabe made allegations of corruption against Martin Callanan for his role in promoting a chief superintendent. While the O'Higgins inquiry ruled that the allegation was unfounded, Noreen O'Sullivan said the term corruption persisted for over 2 years. Juliette Gash reports.
Among the allegations made by whistleblower Maurice McCabe was that the former Garda Commissioner Martin Callanan was corrupt for promoting a senior officer he knew was unsuitable. The whistleblower meant corruption in the sense of the Garda Code rather than criminal corruption, but Noreen O'Sullivan said that allegation had been made in 2012 and followed Mr. Callanan right up until 2015. The O'Higgins Commission eventually said the allegation was unfounded, but Ms. O'Sullivan said from a policeman's perspective, corruption is corruption and extraordinarily serious. Noreen O'Sullivan was asked by counsel for Maurice McCabe who had resigned from An Garda Síochána that was being investigated in relation to his client. She answered, Martin Callanan. Michael McDougall said that was a dark lie. Noreen O'Sullivan will continue her evidence tomorrow. Juliette Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
There were 39 people waiting for a bed at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, according to the latest Trolley Watch report. 16 people were waiting on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 23 were waiting on wards. University Hospital Limerick was the most overcrowded in Ireland today, with 60 people waiting there. A committee is to be formed in Bonkrana to coordinate a campaign for the restoration of Swan Park. Over 100 people attended a meeting in the town last night to call for funding to restore the park following last year's devastating floods, which caused over €2 million worth of damage to the facility. A petition is to be taken up in the coming days urging the government to come up with the money to restore the park. Speaking earlier in today's 9 till noon show, Councillor Jack Murray, Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, told Greg Hughes there is a sense of determination in the local community.
People left absolutely determined that this situation was going to be resolved, that the community was going to stand up and ensure that Swan Park can't lie like it. People called for the establishment of a Safe Swan Park Committee, which is agreed by all those present, and in the coming days and weeks we're going to be knocking doors with a petition, going around different businesses in the town, leaving out petitions and giving people a voice to take us over the line and secure the funding that's needed.
What about funding though in reality? I mean, is this Safe Swan Park Committee perhaps going to look at alternative funding streams, maybe see if there's some European funds can be tapped into, or is it central government really that's going to be the focus?
I think central government has to step up and fund this. The council put in an application. They've got it assessed, independently assessed the cost of it. It's been $2.3 million it's going to cost, so that's the extent of the damage. That's sitting with Owen Murphy's department at the minute, and he didn't make a decision that in a number of weeks. But I think ultimately all the ministers who arrived in Inishowen in August in the aftermath of the floods and made all types of promises when the national media was there, they assured everybody in Inishowen that there would be nothing that wouldn't be done. Everything would be restored back to normal, and I think they have to live up to that promise now.
Work has begun on improving safety measures at a dangerous junction in Tyrone. The junction at Bells Park Road just outside Sion Mills has been the scene of numerous collisions over the years, leading to calls for improvement works to be carried out. The work includes improving sight lines on the Bells Park Road at its crossroad junction with the Orchard and Prospect Roads, and has also entailed acquiring a small piece of land to the rear of the Prospect Bar. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says while he's hopeful this work will make a difference to this notorious black spot, other suggestions are also on the table.
Finally, Road Service, after significant lobbying, have finally moved to deal with this issue. So they've taken away a corner of land just on the Bells Park Road, which makes the sight lines much more clear for vehicles and for people travelling along that road.
And do you feel that these measures will be sufficient in tackling what is a notorious black spot there?
What I will say is that there's been a number of measures laid out. The first was to mark the roads with a special sort of, I suppose, bright paint, safety paint, so that it warns drivers coming up to it at speed to slow down, that there is a junction here. It's quite a dangerous one with signage. That didn't really work all that well, but it was an attempt to see if it would work. Then the next step now is to remove this corner, which was vested from a local farmer, to improve the sight lines coming from the Ellis Park Road down towards the Glebe area. And they've done that, and they're going quite well at this work, and very, very fast as well. So that's the second stage. There's other suggestions on the table if this doesn't work, but we'll await to see how this goes first.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where a massive golf sale is now on.
It's 12 minutes past five. Time now for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Seamus Coleman will make his return to action after 10 months out this evening. The Republic of Ireland captain set to play for Everton's under-23s against Portsmouth. It'll be his first game since a double leg break in the World Cup qualifier with Wales. That game kicks off tonight at 7 o'clock. And with a competitive return to play, and it's already been suggested that the Killie Beggs man could be part of the Irish squad that travels to Turkey for a friendly at the end of March. So hopefully things go well for him tonight. And it could be a famous night at Ashton Gate tonight, this evening. Bristol City, they go on to the second leg of their League Cup semi-final, 2-1 down to Premier League leaders Manchester City. Kick-off on that one is 7:45. And up in Scotland, Celtic could move 11 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership. Brendan Rodgers' side are away to Partick Thistle. In the Irish Championship, a couple of games down for decision tonight. The leaders, Anstitute, can go 6 points clear if they can defeat the PSNI tonight. Derrickview, they're also in action. They host Loughgall. And Derry City, they have re-signed Nicky Lowe until June. The midfielder joins from Scottish Premiership outfit Dundee. Lowe impressed while on loan with the Candy Stripes last season. And the SSE Airtricity under 19 and under 17, the league fixtures have been released. On the first weekend of the under 17 campaign, Derry City will host Athlone Town on Sunday 18th of March, while Finn Harps start the following Sunday the 25th of March away to Drogheda United. At under 19 level, Derry begin on the 18th of March away to Athlone Town, and Harps start 7 days later at home to Drogheda United. And the Donegal Women's League have today received notification that they've been accepted into the new Under-17 National League. The Under-17 League is an attempt to bridge the gap between schoolgirls and senior football. Squads will be limited to 20 players, and coaches must have minimum of a UEFA B licence to participate. It's expected the new Under-17 League will begin in March or April. In Gaelic games, the Bank of Ireland Dr. McKenna Cup final between Donegal and Tyrone will take place on Saturday the 17th of February at Celtic Park in Derry. Throw on for that one is at 6 o'clock. The Ulster Council confirmed that today. And the GAA Director General has released his final annual report before leaving his position. With more from Croke Park, here's Oisin Langan.
As always, a lot of detail in the Director General's annual report, but a couple of things jump out. One is about the club fixtures and how he wants county boards to make sure that April is a club month, as has now been specified. He says there's no excuse for county boards not to run their fixtures properly in April, and in fact all year, especially since changes to the GAA calendar have been made.
I think most counties will run most of their championships in July, August, September, which is great. By the 8th of July, we'll only have 8 teams left in the football championship. So 24 teams will be able to go ahead with no county games and play their club championships. In hurling, by the end of July, only 2 teams will be left. So I think there's a great opportunity this year for counties to play their championships off at a time of the year that's good for players, good weather, and allow reasonable gaps from one game to the next, instead of having to try to rush them off in a small period in August, September, after the county programme is over in September.
As well as the fixture list, Park Duffy has spoken about payments to managers. He says it's something that should not be happening.
But at the moment, I think we're compromised because of the fact that payments are being made. I want to make the point, first of all, that most managers and most coaches are not being paid, but quite a few are. And I don't think we can live that situation forever. I think if we want to remain amateur, then we have to be prepared to sit down and have a genuine debate about how we can do that. I'm not against paying very fair expenses to managers and coaches, but you can't go beyond that. And the first thing is to recognise we have a problem and say, yes, we're prepared to do something about it. We haven't got to that point yet.
Do you think we will?
I think we will. We'll have to. I think we will. It'll take time, but we'll get there.
Some other issues from the report includes the joining up of the Ladies Football Association, Camogie, and the GAA as one body, the challenges of Brexit and Dublin. Park Duffy says splitting it would be ridiculous. At Croke Park for the release of the Director General's annual report, I'm Oisin Langan.
Elsewhere, UCD are the first side through this year's Sigerson Cup quarterfinals. They were rarely troubled in a 2-14 to 1-6-1 over Maynooth University. There's two preliminary round ties this evening, with Trinity facing Dundalk IT and Athlone IT. They host the Garda College. In rugby, four Irish players have been nominated for the European Rugby Player of the Year. Among them are Scarlett's second row tag, Byrne. Joining him on the list are his future Munster teammate, Conor Murray, and Leinster pair, Tadhg Furlong and Jonathan Sexton. They are not the only Leinster players nominated, with Scott Fardy and Issa Nasewa making the 15-man long list. Now, the winner will be decided by a combination of public vote and a panel that includes Brian O'Driscoll and Stuart Barnes. Elsewhere, French rugby's turmoil once again. The offices of the French Rugby Federation were raided this morning as part of an investigation into an alleged conflict of interest involving President Bernard Laporte. He's accused of showing undue favouritism to Montpellier, a club owned by Laporte's friend, Mohad Altrad. Altrad's company recently became the first ever shirt sponsor of the French national team. And finally for this evening, in tennis, Caroline Wozniacki stemmed the flow of quarterfinal upsets at the Australian Open. But the women's second seed needed three sets and a late night finish to see off Carla Suarez Navarro. Wozniacki will face Elise Mertens in the semi-finals after she beat fourth seed Elena Svitolina in straight sets. And injury put paid to Rafa Nadal's challenge. He retired with a thigh injury in the fifth set of his quarterfinal with Marin Cilic. The Croat will face Kyle Edmund in the semi-finals after the English player beat third seed Grigor Dimitrov in four sets. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. It's for the moment back to the news desk.
Thanks, Kenny. Officials have granted full planning permission for an electricity line between Northern Ireland and the Republic at a cost of over €200 million. The North-South Interconnector project will see overhead cables connect the power grids between County Tyrone and County Meath. There were protests at the decision to keep the line overground. Natasha Say is from Sony, which runs Northern Ireland's power network. She says disruption will be minimised.
While we recognise this project is to the benefit of everyone, we will continue to work locally to ensure that it's delivered at the least possible impact to the communities and landowners who will be hosting it.
Hopes are fading that works can be carried out this year to counter potential coastal erosion at Ballyliffin Golf Club ahead of the Dubai duty-free Irish Open this summer. Ballyliffin is included in an OPW-backed study of North Inishowen beaches under threat from coastal erosion, including Ballyliffin and Lag Beach in Mallin. Councillor Martin McDermott says the survey was sanctioned in 2016, but despite calls for the work to be fast-tracked last year, the study still hasn't been completed.
This survey was meant to be commissioned back in 2016. Funding was allocated to it in June 2016. We're now into late January of 2018, and we're hearing that the survey is still only with consultant stages, which leaves it that it probably will not be finished, I would say, until probably about September of 2018, which misses out on the Irish Open, which we were intending to have that survey finished prior to that, so that some works could happen at Ballyliffin, and that over the summer period of this year that we could have applied for funding for remedial works at Lag. So it is disappointing that it hasn't materialised to that extent, but the access to Lag, I think, is at a stage now where the council have had a number of conversations with landowners, and that hopefully over the next couple of months that access will be opened up again.
And in relation to Ballyliffin, time is really of the essence now?
Time is really of the essence, and hopefully as we're here there, we'll be meeting the consultant in April, and hopefully at that stage we might be able to get some recommendations and some leeway to do some work to tidy up the area prior to the Irish Open. But I mean, at the minute I just wouldn't be too hopeful of that either.
The Taoiseach Simon Coveney is welcoming the announcement of a ceasefire from dissident Republican group Éagla na hÉireann today. The group said it would take effect immediately and included a recognised code word. It's made up largely of former IRA members but has been responsible for a number of high-profile bombings and shootings. The group had not been very active in recent years but had been behind a number of incidents in Derry in 2010, including an attempted police station bombing. Security correspondent Alison Morris says they want better treatment for Republican prisoners, but there's no indication they'll directly try to enter politics.
They can see that there is a change in public opinion, and not only that, that Republicans at this point in time are more enthused than ever that the possibility, I suppose, of United Ireland does exist, and it exists not because of armed actions, it exists probably because of a change in political attitude.
A new youthscape project has been launched by the Donegal Youth Service in conjunction with Southwest College and Tides Training. The project is aimed at young people between the ages of 16 and 24 to enhance their capacity to form positive and effective relationships on a cross-border and cross-community basis. The programme will operate across Donegal, Tyrone and Fermanagh. Charlene Logue is Youth Outreach Manager with the Donegal Youth Service. She says the programme is about young people's personal development and enabling them to acquire further opportunities.
YouthScape stands for Youth Opportunities, Unique Training, Helping, Support, Confidence, Aspirations, Peace for and for Everyone. So we want to move young people. We want them to get out of their comfort zone, try something new, meet new people from the other side of the border, do some training with them, get some job search with them, and maybe go to the Southwest College when their program with us finishes, that they can access second and third level education.
And for weather now, scattered heavy showers this evening but otherwise dry. However, wet and very windy weather will spread from the west later with some severe gusts and lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a committee is to be formed in Buncrana to coordinate a campaign for the restoration of Swan Park. Over 100 people attended a meeting in the town last night to call for funding to restore the park following last year's devastating floods, which caused over €2 million worth of damage to the facility. There were 39 people waiting for a bed at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, according to the latest Trolley Watch report. 16 people were waiting on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 23 were waiting on wards. The Social Protection Minister has announced pension changes that should see 30,000 retired people benefit from a rise in their pensions. Donegal Deputy Pat de Cope Gallagher has given the announcement a guarded welcome and has committed to ensure all who are entitled to payments are acknowledged. And Noreen O'Sullivan says her predecessor as Garda Commissioner retired over accusations of corruption by Maurice McCabe. Sergeant McCabe made allegations of corruption against Martin Callaghan for his role in promoting a chief superintendent. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, January the 23rd. The death has occurred in St Vincent's Hospital, Dublin, of William McGeehan, Glencira, Glenswilly, New Mills. His remains will be reposing at his brother Eamon's residence, 71 Glenochty Close, Glencar, from 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral mass on Thursday at 12 noon in St Columba's Church, Glenswilly, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Kilfeek Cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to Autism Family Support Group Letterkenny, care of any family member or Comic Dade and Sons Funeral Director Letterkenny. The death has taken place in Manchester, England, of Kathleen Langan, née Freel, Ballur Fanid. Remains are reposing at the family home in Ballur Fanid from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Fanavolte, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass and burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Inquiries to Eamon Scott, Funeral Director, Fanid. The death has occurred at her residence of Nancy McDade, née McGlynn, Ballybeg, Brina. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Requiem Mass at 12 noon tomorrow in St Columba's Church, Glenswilly, followed by burial in Kilfeek Cemetery. Family time from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Comic Dade Funeral Directors. The death has taken place at Brindley Manor Nursing Home Convoy of Miss Lizetta Porter, Ardmullen Convoy. Remains are reposing at Gibson's Funeral Home Convoy from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow.
Funeral from there on Thursday afternoon at 1:30 for 2:00 service in Convoy Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Convoy Presbyterian Church Repair Fund, Kev Gibson, Funeral Director, Convoy. The death has occurred at Brindley Manor Nursing Home Convoy off Tess Murray, formerly Archway House, Ballybuffet. Her remains will repose at the home of her sister-in-law, Kathy Murray, Glenfin Road, Ballybuffet, this evening until Rosary at 10 o'clock, and tomorrow from 11 a.m. until Rosary at 10 p.m. Funeral leaving from there on Thursday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorder, followed by interment in Stranorder Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Patient's Comfort Fund, Brindley Manor Nursing Home, care of any family member. The death has taken place at the Elderslie Care Home, Fulbar Road, Paisley, of Mary Crossan, formerly Mary Doherty, Tremati, Quigley's Point, wife of the late Bernard Crossan, Glasgow. Requiem Mass on Thursday, the 1st of February, in the Church of Our Lady and St George's, Sandwood Road, Glasgow, with burial in St Convall's, Barrhead. And the death has occurred at Lifford Hospital of Hannah Mullen, 2 Swilly View, Ballymacool, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Junan's Cathedral, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Cornwall Cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Inquiries to Con McDade and Sons Funeral Director.